Good morning. Good morning. Can I get a honk or two? Yeah, that's better. Woohoo! Welcome to Bethany United Methodist Church and our drive-in worship service. While it is beautiful and wonderful to be outdoors in this wondrous creation our God has made for us, I must be honest. I wish we were indoors and could worship in the manner to which we were accustomed. I'm not prepared to acknowledge that this is our new normal because I prefer to believe we can get a handle on this virus and all of this will become a memory. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Yes. Meanwhile, back in reality land, I lean on God and his holy word. In James 1, 2-4, we read this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Okay, now that doesn't mean you have to kick up your heels and celebrate when you have troubles, okay? That's not what they're talking about here. We are facing lots of trials right now, but our God is good and he is in control of everything. He wants us to learn and grow spiritually from all of these trials that we're facing. That's what they're talking about. That is growth, okay? Amen? Amen. The most important thing we need to strive for as we go through all these things is a closer walk with our Father. So now let's go to him in prayer. Please bow your heads with me. Oh, Lord, good morning. Good morning, Father. It is good to be here to worship you, to show you our love and gratitude. Lord, please forgive us our unbelief or whatever it is that is keeping us apart from you. Forgive it now. We need your peace. We need your love. We need your comfort. And we need your forgiveness. We need wisdom that only you can provide, Lord. So Holy Spirit, please come. Fill each of us now to overflowing with that which we need, for you know what that is. Light us up so we can be a beacon to those who feel lost and forgotten. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And now, make us each a soul on fire. And sing with us if you have your song sheets.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord. Restore the joy I had when I have wandered. Bring me back in this darkness. See me through until all I see is you. Yeah. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return to you again. Lord, let me burn for you. you again. Let me return to you again. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire, God. I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire.
Amen. Now today, we get to celebrate Holy Communion for the first time since the pandemic hit us. Can I hear an amen? What a joy. Yes, yes. I'm glad we're having this communion at last. And I think our next song, O Come to the Altar, is a way we can express our desire to answer Jesus and his request to remember him whenever we partake of the bread and the cup. Let's sing, O Come to the Altar.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are opened wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar, the
are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen, everybody. That was beautiful. I'd like to remind you to text any praises or prayer requests to 540-495-0501, and Pastor Susan will share them during her prayer time. And now it's time for Children's Moments. Thank you, guys.
Good morning. It's good to see you all. I want to know, how many of you have ever bought a Happy Meal? No one? No. All right. Yes. How many of you have eaten a Happy Meal? All right. Well, this is my lunchbox. I brought that with me. This is what I bring to church with me. And I put my lunch in there, bring it here and eat it. But I want to talk to you about a different kind of meal, because today is World Communion Sunday. And we have a meal that we share with Jesus. And that meal is, it's the, here's our bread coming uncovered. It's bread and it's juice. And it's kind of like God's Happy Meal, but there's a difference, because I know when my kids had Happy Meals, the first thing they would always do was look and see what kind of toy they got. And that's what they wanted to know, was what kind of toy. So that's, that's the exciting part of it. But God's Happy Meal, when we take communion, the exciting part is that Jesus Christ is with us as we do that. The Holy Spirit is with us. So I want to share a poem with you called The Savior's Happy Meal. This happy meal doesn't look like much. It doesn't come with a toy. It may not fill my stomach, but it fills my heart with joy. The bread and juice remind me of the Savior's love for me. When he died upon a rugged cross on a hill called Calvary, there is no way I can describe the gratitude I feel each and every time I eat the Savior's Happy Meal. So it may not come with a toy, but it is extra, extra special that we remember that we're a church family when we eat it together. And there are people all around the world today who are also taking part in that meal. So I'm excited that we can do this. We haven't been able to do this for a long time. And even though our meal is going to be even tinier than usual, it just reminds me that we can still break bread together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all that your Son Jesus Christ did for us. And we are so thankful that we can come and sit at his table, that even though that table, well, it doesn't look so much like a table today, but God, I'm glad that you bring us together and that we can be with your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Morning. Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke 22:14-16. And we also will be reading from 1 Corinthians 11:23-30. So from Luke we read, "When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God.'" And from 1 Corinthians 11:23-30, Paul says, "For I have received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also, and after supper, saying, This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Before I pray, I just want to note that a little announcement about the communion elements, which are prepackaged this morning, and they're in two parts. There's a little tab that you can rip off, and you'll get your wafer, and then there's another little seal before you get to the juice. So just it's a little bit fiddly, but you can do it. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come together, and we come together in ways that are, well, pretty new to most of us. We're over the airwaves, and we're in the parking lot, and wherever else we might be, but we are together, Lord. And so as we consider your words this morning that come to us through Luke and through Paul, remind us of that togetherness we have that Jesus Christ created when he broke the bread and gave the cup. Amen. Well, I was thinking this week about special family meals. You know, the ones that weren't just your mom and your dad and your siblings eating together, but you know, those ones that where you got together with even more family at Christmas or Thanksgiving. And we used to go to my grandparents' farm when we lived in California. And when we got together, the kids would sit in the kitchen and eat, and the grown-ups would sit in the dining room. And so, we enjoyed it. You know, once they got us settled down and in our seats, they would close the door to the kitchen and leave us in there. Now, my grandmother was not known for her cooking skills, but I still have fond memories of those family meals. One thing that you could always count on being on my grandmother's table, or at least on the kids' table, was Jell-O. And one Thanksgiving, we discovered that the grape Jell-O was sort of weird. It was runny on the top, and it was chunky on the bottom. And it was also pretty tough on the bottom. Well, we quickly scraped off the top layer, and we began experimenting with the bottom layer. We began bouncing it off the table and seeing how far it would stretch. And my brothers and my cousins and I, we just, you know, we thought this was hilarious. We were delighted with the Jell-O. Best Jell-O we've ever had, we thought. And we were laughing and carrying on until my grandmother came and poked her head around the swinging door to the kitchen. And immediately, we went silent. And my grandmother, who had very heavily accented English, said, "What is happening?" And we all got very quiet and we said, "Nothing, Grandma," because we didn't know if our grandmother knew she was a terrible cook and couldn't even make Jell-O. She would make my grandfather eat things like peanut butter and mustard sandwiches and runny oatmeal, and he just ate everything she made and didn't complain. So we didn't want to spill the beans that she was such a terrible cook that she couldn't make Jell-O correctly. But we had a great time. It was a great success, even if it wasn't particularly edible. Meals at my grandmother's house were always memorable, if not for the food, and there was some memorable food, but because we were gathered with the people that we loved. And this morning, as we celebrate World Communion Sunday, our scripture readings both are related to the sacrament of Holy Communion. In the reading from Luke, Jesus invites his disciples to dine with him as they celebrate Passover. He invites them to the table. And this will be, of course, the last meal that the disciples will eat with Jesus before he is arrested and crucified. It's the last meal, and he makes sure that it is a special meal that they remember, that they will continue to carry on. And then the reading from 1 Corinthians is Paul's sort of rebuke to the community of Corinth, because when they commemorate that final meal with Jesus, they haven't really had the right attitude. Some of them have been overindulging in the wine and getting drunk, and some of them have been eating more than their share, as if they haven't eaten anything in days. And so he advises the church of Corinth to not treat communion as though it's just any other meal, but to remember that it is a special occasion, that it is a special occasion. And we believe, as United Methodists, that through the Holy Spirit, God is with us and present with us when we eat this meal. And so Paul's instructions are to consider the significance of this bread and wine, because it is both a call to repent and to be conscious of God's holy presence. Well, in the midst of all this 2020 weirdness, we haven't had communion for almost 7 months. The Virginia Conference has been very strict about what we can and can't hand out. And recently they revived those guidelines so that we can hand out prepackaged elements. And while communion is going to be a little different this morning, there won't be any Hawaiian bread, there won't be any cup to dip it in, there'll just be this prepackaged, factory put together little thimbleful of juice and a little wafer, but it's still communion. It is still Jesus inviting us to his table, even if we are still far apart, separated in cars or by distance. We are still finding ways to be together. And this, well, a lot of things seem to be falling apart, but Jesus Christ extends his invitation beyond any single table, any single spot, and reminds us that when our time on earth is done, we will feast at a heavenly banquet, a banquet that brings us all together. Further along in chapter 22 of Luke's gospel, Jesus tells his disciples, "I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." And so we are called together to a figurative table. We're going through a hard season, and it's not over yet. And one of the many things we haven't been able to do is gather around a table and have food together. And that's one of the things that Methodists love. We've had no church suppers for 7 months, no sharing food in the fellowship hall, no breaking bread, no hugs or handshakes. We've been staying out of the sanctuary and limiting contact. And it's been hard to feel connected in the midst of all of this. But Jesus Christ still welcomes us to his table. And even though it's hard to feel like we are one body, we are. This first week in October is traditionally the start of our stewardship week. And this may not sound like much of a stewardship message, but I think that life has already asked a great deal of most of you. Maybe you've had to limit the amount of time you've spent with your grandchildren, or maybe you've had to teach online school or supervise your kids going to hybrid school, or, you know, all of these things that we've had to do, wearing masks and staying distant and not always hugging the people we want to hug. it hasn't been easy. It's been necessary, but it hasn't been easy. And I want to celebrate all that has been done as a church family in the stewardship month, so that, well, we've had so many people who have been working together, putting together the children's package, packets, you know, putting together this online service, directing you all into the parking lot, giving of your time, of your talent, and all of these things. I want to celebrate that after all of this craziness, we are still together. A few years ago, there was a nationwide poll that asked, what word or phrase would you most like to hear uttered to you sincerely? And if you said, I love you, then you're right. Those are the words that people most wanted to hear. After that, the second most popular was, you are forgiven. But number three, believe it or not, was, supper is ready. Those three popular phrases correspond to God's actions in our lives. I love you, God's unconditional love. You are forgiven, God's unmerited grace. And supper is ready, God's unsurpassed invitation to have God become a part of our lives. Today we have before us a reminder of God's unsurpassed invitation to come to the table, even if it's not quite a table. It's a figurative table, a socially distanced table, to remember what it is like to break bread together. It's a space that we hold in the midst of chaos because Jesus' invitation still stands, even in these uncertain times. He still invites us to join him through the bread, even if it's teeny tiny bread, and through the wine, even if it's a thimbleful and it's not fermented. Because this is a foretaste of something greater that can barely be imagined. The great feast where we all come together. This little bit of cracker and juice stand in for what we look forward to. Us gathering to share many, many meals together. We hold on to the hope that we will feast together once more in this world. But more importantly, that we have Christ with us. And it is a foretaste of that great banquet when we gather with our Savior and all those that we love to eat this bread and drink this cup at a family dinner like no other. Amen. Well, this time I've had a number of people ask me how we're doing financially, and we are, given the circumstances, I think we're actually doing pretty well. We're paying the bills. We're not quite caught up on apportionments, and we're still in the black. So, but thank you for everyone who has given, whether you put it in the buckets or whether you share your time or your talent with us. Or whether you do e-giving. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. And we thank you for all those who give in all the ways that they give. Lord, bless all of these offerings. Help us to be good stewards of all that you give us. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, at this time, I invite you to, if you have your song sheet with you, the words of Holy Communion will be on the back of that, of the scripture. So I invite you to look at that now, and this should be interesting. So let us prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. To prepare ourselves to partake of this holy meal, let us pray. Healing God, we come before you broken, yet seeking wholeness, isolated, yet seeking community, overwhelmed, yet seeking simplicity, shamed, yet seeking grace.
God, we yearn for the healing you promise.
God of peace, we come before you afraid, yet seek assurance. Agitated, yet seeking serenity. Angry, yet seeking a forgiving heart.
God, we yearn for the peace you promise. Forgive us when we do not follow your ways or advocate for peace and healing.
When we confess our sins, God abundantly pardons. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to the church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. God commissioned us to be his witnesses, or Christ commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today his family and all the world is joining at his holy table. And we remember that on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so he then took the cup when the supper was over, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim together the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world and steep every nation and all people in your love through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The body of Christ, broken for you. Blood of Christ, poured out for you. And now it fell on the ground. Okay. And now we will take our communion together. I invite you to open your prepackaged communion. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we give you thanks that you draw us together, that you bring us together and remind us that we are joined one body with Christ as the head. Amen. Well, I do have a couple of announcements. We are having a church council meeting by Zoom Tuesday at 6:30, and if you're not a regular member of council but you'd like to sit in on that, you can email the office or call us and I will send you the link for Zoom, or you can even phone call in the phone number for Zoom, and that's at 6:30 on Tuesday. The question I hear most often is, when are we going inside to worship? We are going to start worshiping inside November 1st, first Sunday in November. We'll have more directions about that in the newsletter, which is coming out shortly. And our plan is that as long as there are people who want to do the drive-in service, that we will have drive-in service as well, except that we'll be doing it
inside. You won't have any visuals. So just to let you know that that is coming up. We want to be in prayer for Agnes Carter, Agnes Carter's family, actually. Agnes passed away this past week, and so please be in prayer for her. Her family, I think they need it very much. Trying to see, we have another prayer request, which my glasses are so smudged I can't see. We want to, prayers for Uncle Phil. This is Beth's uncle and my nephew's great uncle, and so we want to pray for Uncle Phil. And of course we want to pray for President Trump and the First Lady, and all of the leaders who have tested positive for COVID. So let us pray. Holy Father, we come before you this morning and we have concerns. It's hard not to be anxious in these times, but Lord, help us to find peace through you, to live peacefully with one another, to remember the lessons that Jesus Christ taught us. Lord, we confess that we don't always get it, and we don't always do it just as you would have us do it. But forgive us and free us for joyful obedience. Lord, we pray for all of those who have been affected by COVID. We especially pray for those who are sick and who are being treated and cared for. Lord, we ask that they may receive the best care possible. Continue to keep us in love with you. Keep us strong in our faith. Keep us together as the body of Christ. All this I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
And now we'll sing our closing song, I Come With Joy. Everyone.
As you go forth, may you be fed in spirit as well in body for the rest of your week. Amen.